Cali, Cali, I'm going back to Cali. I don't think so. I'm going back to Cali.
Back on Downtown, it's time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Man, I was not expecting that tune. I was like, that's my favorite tune from the Zombies. Nope. Good. I like it. It fills me with joy.
I'm happy to provide that.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I hope everybody's doing well. It is another Cali day here on the Message in the Bottle segment. And as we are far too quickly running through the month of September, I'm going to kind of condense two editions in one today. I'll just take you all back really quickly, just remind you that last week we talked about what made California famous, and essentially it was the fact that for, you know, years and years and years, we had, and we'll sort of get to the years and years and where that started, a lot of really interesting people doing interesting plantings in varying places in California. And then in 1976, there was a famous tasting in Paris that basically launched the thing, and it made them, it made it what it is today, essentially. That and a lot of really, really good publicity that they worked on very, very hard, sometimes to the detriment of the actual product. So where did California start? California, in terms of a wine region, essentially started in the 16th century. We had Spanish settlers in what is now known as Baja California. So the little spit of land, well, it's not little, it's actually quite large, that descends south from California, starting in like Tijuana and going south from there. So that was their first attempts to plant. Reminding everybody that obviously the initial attempts of planting in the New World were on the East Coast, where the phylloxera louse basically ruined all chances there. Well, phylloxera was not in California at this time, so when they were bringing over their European grapes, the Vitis vinifera that everybody likes to drink, it took hold, which was great. So the first vineyard that was established in modern day California was in San Diego, which, as everybody knows, I'm not going to go there. It was founded by a Franciscan monk, Junipero Serra. My guess is it was probably what is now known as the Mission grape, which is not a good grape. it's basically sort of a cousin of the pais that's down in South America. It's okay, but at least it provided them with sacramental wine. Of course, it was only you know, they're of course men of God, so you know, it wasn't just simply to get a buzz on. Though it is interesting, I mean, it must be noted, and I've been doing, you know, this new Message in the Bottle video series, and everybody should go on YouTube and subscribe, by the way. It's really, you know, one has to remind oneself that modern safe drinking water was only modern. Water, by and large, was not safe, and that's one of the primary reasons that wine was so important, period. It was not simply just to get drunk, even though we, you know, love to get our buzz on. It was the fact that it was safe. And it, you know, so bear in mind that that's also part of this. Phylloxera didn't arrive until the late 1800s, which is around the time that it was also killing off most of the vineyards in Europe. So, like I said, vinifera had a chance to take hold, and you were seeing grapes like what we know as Primitivo. For instance, I was actually just this morning, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Rhone Rangers in a second. But the people that work with a lot of the European varietals that we think of, but Zinfandel the grape we all know as Zinfandel is originally from Croatia. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the original name, but it was brought down into Italy, and where it is still known as Primitivo, in case anybody, it's down in the Puglia region. But clippings of Primitivo were brought in to the Americas, and that's what we now know as Zinfandel. Also the grape Mourvèdre, or Monastrell, as it's known, is known as Mataro in California. That's, you know, so these were all sort of brought in around the same time. Then California kind of got its butt kicked by everything. Obviously, phylloxera was a big thing. World War, Dust Bowl, Prohibition, which forced a lot of the wineries that survived to basically only make, as we sort of mentioned before, sacramental wine. Franciscan Winery, for instance, Franciscan Abbey, that was one of them that, you know, was like, oh, no, this is just, hey, this is the blood of Christ. This has nothing to do with anything else. But it allowed them to survive past Prohibition, and that's why it's still around. And I was mentioning just before the Rhone Ranger. So not only is California, you know, great at the grapes you all sort of know from California, like Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Chardonnay, but there is sort of another face of California that is developing actually fairly robustly, which is planting. I mean, again, going back to last week, remember that basically California, A, is huge, and B, it basically contains every terroir you could want. So if you want to grow, you know, this grape or that grape, there's probably a good chance you can find a place to do it and do it successfully. We can touch on, you know, irrigation and climate change and stuff like that later, but again, it's such a vast territory. You probably can find somewhere if you want to grow Tempranillo or if you want to grow Sangiovese. So in this case, I wanted to mention that the other side of California is this Rhone varietal, so the Rhone Valley in France. There was a group called the Rhone Rangers, and they started looking for places to plant these wonderful southern French wine, southern French grapes, rather. Things like Grenache, Syrah. The aforementioned Mourvèdre conveniently fits into that because Mataro and Mourvèdre, that's a southern Rhone grape. So there's a lot of that, and there's the other thing I want to sort of mention before I leave is that the distinct, we've talked about appellations, right, in Europe, the idea that there's a delimited zone for this or that. The American viticultural area is our answer to that, and there are AVAs being developed that really are much stronger in grapes that you don't think of from California as grapes that you do think of. Of course, we have our Napa and our Alexander Valley and our Sonoma, but places like the vast Central Coast area, Paso Robles, the Sierra foothills, these are places that are still being developed and still have places where you can find land that it doesn't cost $1 million an acre and strike out for yourself. So that's kind of cool. So do keep your eye out for wines from these regions that you haven't necessarily heard of and maybe are featuring grapes that you're like, wow, that's a California wine? Yeah, it is. Just check it out. Because, I mean, if they're going to be a lot more interesting, I think, than people will give it credit for. And I did want to just, again, before I leave, remind people, YouTube at Bangor Wine is the new Message in the Bottle video series that I'm working on. This morning, I released a video about tannin, and what does that mean, and what is it that it does to wine and your wine experience. So do check that out. And subscribe, please. That would be awesome. And then everybody, come on in to the shop, and we'll show you. We're getting new stuff. It's an odd. I feel like the effects of COVID are still sort of going on because a lot of like shipments have been delayed again and stuff like this. So there's a lot of interesting new wines that we're getting in these days. So do pop in and check those out. And next week we will finish. We will move away from California and start to talk about the two states north of it, Oregon and Washington, and why those, again, given climate change, might be better positioned in California to take over some of the U.S. wine scene. But in any case, I hope everybody is enjoying this beautiful fall day. I'll talk to y'all next week.
And when does 161 play again? Is it not this weekend, but the weekend after?
Oh, God, please don't do that. You're terrifying me.
I'm sorry.
these old bones. It is October 11th. October 11th.
Oh, you got plenty of time then.
I was going to say, I think I have more time than that, but the way, as I was writing in my newsletter, by the way, we also have a newsletter that you can go on and sign up for at BangorWineandCheese.com. Tempest Fugit, hardcore these days. So when you say 2 weeks, I'm like, yeah, maybe. But yeah, OBC, Orono Brewing Company up in Orono, their headquarters. My band is going to be playing on October 11th. And also, if anybody is a pass holder to Waterfront Concerts, apparently we're going to be doing a party for them on October 25th, which is terrifying because those people have actually heard good musicians through good sound systems. So that should be fun. But yeah, keep your eyes peeled. We're fun old dudes playing the stuff that we all grew up with. And so yeah, come on out and check us out. Appreciate that plug.
You bet. Thanks, Eric. Have a good week. See you next Tuesday.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.